Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Beyond, and hello and welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 825. It's going to be a very special Thanksgiving week episode, and I'm thankful to have my good friends here with me, Brian Altano and Jada Griffin.
Thank you.
How you doing? You roast turkeys? You mashed potatoes? What's up?
I prefer turducken, so how dare you?
I've never had one of those. I would eat the hell out of a turducken.
Didn't they do like another one that was like a turducken, but there was like a guinea fowl inside the duck?
I wouldn't be surprised. People are very creative when it comes to smaller food.
Birds, just like a Matryoshka doll of meat. It's really, we don't need that. Anyway,
John Madden ate wasn't he famous for eating those?
Yeah, but never on planes.
Well, I think he ate them because only like 3/4 of the animals in there could fly, and he doesn't flying.
That's the thing. I don't even know that this is true. This could be a thing you just regularly bring up, but you're always talking about how John Madden was scared of planes and has to use other.
I work in the games industry. I figured I should learn a few things about football man John Madden. This
is the most I know about sports is a guy who talks about sports doesn't like vehicles.
Come to Podcast Beyond for some topical John Madden humor from people
Here's a Madden fact for you. John Madden, 2004, at one point got a Game Awards award before.
I remember that.
That was a different time, you know.
Very different time.
Do those count as remakes? Are they there? I guess those are up for awards, right,
Jada? I think those count as sequels.
I heard you talk smack about the my remakes thing. I tried to be on last week's episode. My camera died, and then you went in. You went hard. So
yeah, I'm calling you out. It is. We are recording this on the afternoon of November 14th. So if we skip the big important news, that's on you for listening to old radio programs. But yeah, it's a holiday week here in America, and we're trying to get out of the way and get an episode done ahead of time. It is.
You ever have leftovers before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's what you're having. You're having the little cranberry sandwich. You put a little Hawaiian King roll, get some of the gravy in there, fall asleep on the couch. Maybe you can fall asleep listening to us. I don't know what you do with your free time. That's up to you. We have something stupid planned for our free time. In the olden days, we would talk about, the games we're thankful for. Maybe we'll slip some of those in there. But today, in honor of the PlayStation Portal, which I think we all kind of realized is really more of a controller than it is like an actual system or device of its own. It's a wacky controller, and Sony has a long history of making kind of weird controllers. So I figured that we should argue about which ones are the best. I made a little bracket for us to go off of. I've never made a bracket before. I didn't really know what one was aside from like a shelving unit type. But so I put these together. I put a bunch of various PlayStation peripherals and devices. Basically just controllers, like trying to stick kind of squarely to like a thing you use to control the game. I put them on a list.
So no handhelds, no like nothing like that, right?
No, I debated having the iToy on there, but I was
justice for the iToy.
This is a thing you hold in your hands, and it's a thing made by Sony, and you use it to control a game.
Where's the Wonder Book?
We can get to that. We'll get to that. The Wonder Book was really more of a state of mind than an actual book, but we'll come back to that. Let's take a look at the contenders. And again, this is if anyone's having a serious debate about this, we're have out of office emails up. We're not listening. This is a fun time. We're just going to talk about the controllers and then decide which is the undeniable best one of all time ever in the history, according to us, the number one PlayStation podcast that we make here. So the first round is going to be the wacky PS3 prototypical banana boomerang batarang thing that never actually came out. It is going to be going up against the actual DualShock 3. I guess it's actually sort of the DualShock 3 too. I left the six axis office here. It actually doesn't matter. It's going to be going up against the real PS3 controller. So that's kind of an interesting showdown. Whichever one of those wins is going to be squaring off against the DualSense or the PSVR 2 Sense that what it's called? VR Sense? VR Sense.
It's the VR2 headset.
The little like little orbit looking things. Anyway, and then the next round is going to be a couple of real out there ones. The PlayStation Portal, new to the party, the sort of newcomer, new challenger, whatever.
The kid on the block.
That's gonna be going up against the PSVR AIM controller, that weird looking yogurt pretzel thing
with the clown nose.
The clown, yeah, it looked like a sideways '90s, I don't know, headphone, like one of those like headphones you'd wear while running, but you still use the CD Walkman. I don't know. They really went out of their way to make it look not like a gun. And they succeeded because it's just a strange thing. So we'll talk about that one a bit. Whichever one of those comes in on top is going to be squaring off against the original DualShock, the PS1 variety, the gray one, first one to ever rumble. Mm. And then our next round is going to be the oldest and the newest. It's going to be the PS5 DualSense. That's going to be going up against the original DualShockless PS1 controller. And whichever one of those comes out on top is going to be squaring off against the DualSense 4, the PS4 controller.
Okay, so I understand why some of these controllers made it to the second round without having to compete, but I don't.
It's all random. It's all random.
I was going to ask, Max, did you just throw darts at your wall?
Yeah, no, I didn't get it from my. Yeah, no, I put them on a list. I hit shuffle, and it was. And I searched like bracket for like 12 things, and it was like this is the only one they had. So luck of the draw, you know, that's how it is. I think it's a good balance because you've got a very. Anyway, we'll get to the final sort of round here is going to be the PlayStation Move, the clown noses on sticks that don't look like guns. They don't, mm-hmm. you know, they hit PSVR1 accessory that was sold out by the time you bought that new headset. Mm-hmm. That's going to be going up against the PS2 controller, which looks just like the PS3 controller, except that it has a cord. And whichever one of those is the winner will have to show off against Mr. Moneybags himself, the DualSense Edge. So that's what we got lined up. Those are a bunch of controllers. We're making them fight. We're bashing them together like action figures in the sandbox. Let's get started with our first round here.
I do have a question, Max. So the requirements for this was that it had to be something that you held in your hand that was used only on PlayStation, correct?
It was a PlayStation manufactured accessory that could be defined as a controller.
Okay, so not that you held it in your hand, because none of us ever touched the boomerang. Right.
That's okay. That's fair. Yeah.
If any of did I want to say I saw the boomerang in person.
It was on. Let's okay. Let's get into that. That was
maybe I didn't actually.
Our first match here is going to be this is the original prototypical DualSense or not DualSense. What am I saying? Off the bat,
DualShock.
The I don't think it was even called the DualShock.
No, this is the PS1 one, right?
Our first bracket, not the first one. We're talking about the boomerang banana. The Boomerang Banana, the PS3 controller that was revealed to much excitement and then never actually came out. And then it's going up against the one that actually did. Which do we like? Do we like the 6-axis or do we like the final DualShock 3 better?
Well, I don't think
there's any world where you can pick the 6-axis over the DualShock because the DualShock did everything the 6-axis did, but also added rumble back.
Yeah, let's just call it the DualShock 3. So it is the PS3 controller that we were promised, and then the PS3 controller that we ultimately got. Nobody ever touched the banana boomerang. It was somebody from Sony did. They brought it there and they put it on like a little podium, but that was at E3 2005, and they had it. They had on display. There's a post up from Mark Ryan Salee on IGN.com from it was updated in 2016. I don't know why. It was posted May 16th, 2005. And yeah, they showed off the controller and it was that crazy boomerang one that I think that set a precedent for us just having the most like absurd ideas of what new consoles would look like. And to be fair, like the Nintendo also did a lot of that, you know, they're like, oh, here's the, you know.
Things got weird back then. Yeah, I'm with you on that. There was never any logical reason why they did this, right? Just to have bigger grips, right? Like it didn't do anything. Like you didn't have motion or anything like that, right?
It might. I mean, it might have been the idea. The one that they inevitably announced was actually coming out. I think they revealed the 6-axis stuff attached to it. But
yeah. Okay, I'll say that the boomerang would have been a good controller. That's the largest picture of it. No, not, no, I don't. It's, yeah. Okay. Can I put, I'll put it this way. The Boomerang would have been a good controller symbolically because the PS3 era was all about PlayStation throwing away a lot of goodwill and then it coming back. Right? Like, they fumbled the bag super hard at the beginning with the $599 Ridge Racer. Mm-hmm. We could put out a console with no games, shoot a guy in Times Square, whatever they were saying at the time. And then eventually they price dropped. They got a bunch of games in there. They got that energy back. And they ended up with a really, really solid
Plus.
Yeah. They ended up doing a lot of cool. They launched a bunch of amazing franchises that generation. So I think the Boomerang, the PS3 will always be a boomerang of sorts, is what I'm trying to say. But this controller sucks, is what I think.
Oh, well, okay. So that's a no for this one,
Jay. Yeah, that is a bad controller. Why would you want this thing? It's dumb as hell. Look at that.
I think everything you just said totally sells me on this as like a, it is a piece of history. Half the other things on this list are the same basic
form
factor.
It's a piece of something, I'll tell you that.
I like the Boomerang controller. Like, put it this way, I like the bigger controllers that we've gotten in throughout time. Like, mm-hmm. you remember the Duke for the original Xbox controller? Like,
yeah.
I loved the Duke. Like, that was my controller. That was my controller I used to frag out with, was the Duke.
I get that. That's fair.
Totally would have been right at home with this Boomerang. I think it would have been great. Do I think it's better than the PS4 or the PS3 DualShock? No.
Did they put the Boomerang in the PS5 Astrobot game?
Oh, probably. Ooh.
I don't remember seeing that one.
I don't think so. Because
it's tough, because I think it would confuse people who were not born yet, you know?
Yeah. Like, what the hell is that? Can we pull up a picture of the Boomerang again? I want to point out that it looks like the joysticks are trying to leave. Like, they're trying to escape. Like, the liquefy tool in Photoshop is going overboard.
Yeah.
Those sticks are horrendous.
Those triggers are bad, too. We're trying to debate how a thing that we never use, that we never even touched, functions. I like to think that maybe it is the most comfortable thing in the world to hold, but I also, when I try to imagine what it feels like to hold it, my sort of, in Inception, how it's like, only you know what your little totem feels like or whatever. In mm-hmm. my head, imagining holding this thing, I just imagine holding that that horrible Wu-Tang controller that you have, Brian.
Yeah.
It's a really cool controller, but touching it hurts. Like, it hurts.
That one hurts specifically because the buttons on them are like little, they're like, it's like a bucatini. Like, it's a hard stick and it stabs your thumbs. Yeah. This one, I think they should have kept going and made the handles even longer, so it's like a big woman's purse, you know, like a huge bag.
Oh, I was thinking like a handlebar mustache or like
I mean, it does look like it looks like a frown. It really, I feel like it is so symbolic of the PS3 in a lot of ways because it is visually the most out there wackadoo thing, which was totally the PS3. This is like the cell processor of aesthetic design. It's like there's no ergonomics here whatsoever.
I don't know. It's almost like a steering wheel. It's like half of a steering wheel, so it might have been really good for racing.
It's like the steering wheel from I Think You Should Leave that flies off in your hands. it's a horrible thing.
But again, like we don't know if it we don't think it had motion controls in it. The start select buttons on this thing are hilarious too because they're just oddly misshaped and gigantic. But the D-pad on the angle, the shoulder buttons, I can tell you would just not work. Like, imagine playing a first-person shooter like that, and your fingers have to go all the way around to the...
This was the first controller
that was going to incorporate pinky usage, Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, I feel like this... It would be like holding a mouse sideways. Like, not the animal. Like, the holding, like, a, you know, computer mouse sideways, and it would just not... Mm-hmm. It would not feel like triggers. It would just feel like weird, long finger buttons.
Has somebody 3D printed this, like, on Etsy?
I don't know.
I want to hold it.
I want one. I want a bat. I want one that I can play with. I don't know. I like that this is completely out there. Again, what do we have to say about the DualShock 3?
It's great. It's a great controller.
It was great. It played it safe. I don't know. What do we say? I'm voting banana.
You're going to vote for the Boomerang?
I'm going. It's not going to win. What are you worried about?
If all of us try to...
I don't know that.
If all of us vote contrarian without realizing it, then the banana would move forward. I'm voting DualSense 3 or DualShock.
I mean, the words of Ralph Wiggum, go banana. Hey, everybody, if I could have a moment of your time, just a quick reminder that while a lot of us are gorging ourselves on pumpkin pie and falling asleep in a big pile of other people's winter coats, just a heads up, the IGN Deals team is working their butts off through the holiday weekend. They're curating the best sales on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and everything in between during this general holiday shopping extravaganza week. They sift through all the crap and highlight some games and tech and other stuff that you'll actually care about. So keep an eye on IGN.com, follow IGN Deals on Twitter, and subscribe to the IGN Deals newsletter. Meanwhile, the IGN store is having its biggest sale ever, 25% off across the store. Hundreds of collectibles are on sale, up to 75% off. And if you haven't been keeping track, the IGN store is more than just like IGN branded coffee mugs. It's got merch from the biggest pop culture properties, stuff like Zelda, Star Wars, tons of other ones that I'm too tired to list right now. Quantities are limited. Once the stuff is gone, it's gone. Finally, on Monday, November 20th, we are launching a sale on annual plans for IGN Plus that'll reduce the price from $29.99 to $24.99 a year. That'll run through Cyber Monday. It's our only sale of the year, and it makes it basically $2 a month, which is a steal if you frequent IGN or want to get the most out of our guides. And that's it. That's all the stuff I had to tell you. Sorry to bother you. Thanks for listening. Back to the show. Happy holidays. I love you. And all right, let's get on with it.
Okay, I think that if we, I want to vote for the banana to be funny and to do a troll thing. That's great. But I have a feeling if we don't kill this monstrosity soon,
it could win the whole thing.
It's gonna win the whole thing. Like it's gonna.
Let it in. Let it in. Just let it in for fun. Let it run around. Toy with it.
Let it in.
Yeah, let it.
No, it's gonna die. We got three votes here.
It's not gonna win real ones. It's just let it be
better than the actual PS3 controller.
Here's the thing. We've got how many other DualShocks on this list? 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to.
Don't let him sway you. Max was trying to sway you once, and he'll be like, remember my previous argument when I swayed you before? Don't get off the train now, Brian.
I know, I don't know if
I should. Stops.
Should I give him one sway?
Here's the thing. DualShock 3 was a wonderful, wonderful controller because it was basically a PS2 controller that they did like a couple little things to. Like it has obviously a much more complicated thing. It was wireless. It had a lot of stuff going on there. I think the PS4 controller was really, that's where they really, really got it. But I feel like if you made me choose between, I like the 2 and I like the 4, out of the 3, whatever, it's fine. It's okay. It's just
okay. So like what you're describing is exactly why the PS3 controller should fight the PS4 controller later. So you can bring that argument back to the table.
You know why the banana never came out is that they had it on display at E3 and some guy went there. He's like, hey, does it have motion controls? And he tried to throw it and it slipped out of his hands. And in fact, it was shaped like a boomerang, but it didn't come back and they never found it. And they had to make a different one. They just took
it was the prototype. It was their only prototype.
I think it will return one day, just like the boomerang that it is. I think it will come back.
But the cell processing made it so fast.
I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to put it in the garbage can. I'm not going to throw it because it will return. I'm going to put it in the garbage can. We cannot let this monstrosity make it another step through this tournament.
Oh, fine. Okay. All right. So DualShock 3 moves on to the next round.
I respect your hustle, Max, but like we can't.
No one ever said that to me in my life.
No one ever touched this thing.
Okay.
People have said that to you in your life.
All right. Anyway, that controller is making the same face as me—a big frown. All right. So those were two one very conventional controller that never came out. Anyway, let's get out. Here's another thing we've never actually gotten hands on with yet: the PlayStation Portal, which is our excuse for even having this conversation. The PlayStation Portal versus the PlayStation VR AIM. I feel like this is two examples. The people who designed the banana boomerang controller, I feel like their spirit lives on in both of these devices because they're both completely
if you look hard enough, the boomerang is part of the AIM controller. If you squint just hard enough, you can see how the shape forms into it.
These are both very like hyper specific edge case controllers.
Actually, the edge case is included with the DualSense Edge.
Walked right into that one. And I want to give it to I actually don't know. Okay, so the VR thing like didn't get a lot of support, but the people who used it looked ridiculous, and I think that's funny. So I want to give a shout out to them. Look at that thing. Come on. It has a clown nose on the front of it.
Yeah.
I used this. I actually played with this. I didn't think it was great. But that was not, I don't think it was the controller's problem. Like, I think that, like, PSVR, mm-hmm. the first PSVR was obviously, like, it was revolutionary in a lot of ways, but also very limited in a lot of ways. And it tried to kind of overextend itself when it came to shooters. And I think some people got really into that, and they made it work. And, you know, some mm-hmm. people are experts at juggling limitations and making stuff, you know, really work for them. This controller was not great for me. Here's my other big problem with this controller. It's huge. It's a big dumb thing. And so yeah. if there's something that you're going to have that you don't use a lot, then it should be small. Does that make sense? I think the bigger something that you have, something that you don't use, the worse it is.
Because it so just I sits think, around and just like it's always in your
yeah.
Your,
it's just
your
always
view.
There. I have like one of those. I have like a like many of you probably do, like a drawer in your entertainment center or something, or like a thing where you have just all your controllers, right? And every now and then you go through it and you go, oh man, I'll probably never use a USB-C or a USB micro or whatever cord ever again. Or hey, there's a PS3 controller in here. I don't even have one of those anymore. This thing sat in my like controller drawer forever, and it like hid other controllers you couldn't see because it was so big and dumb. So I think this one's got to go. So it's bad, and you can't even use it anymore.
I'm voting for the Portal mostly for that case that you can't use it anymore.
Yeah.
At all, unless you're playing on a PS3. Mm-hmm. But also the Portal just looks really cool, and I've kind of come around on it, and I'm really sad I didn't pull the trigger when I had it in my cart to pre-order like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because now,
if you like pulling the trigger, I got a controller for you. It's called the VR.
Oh, I hate you, Max, but I love you so much. Yes, no, very good. Gosh darn it. Yeah. I don't know. The Portal looks really cool. I mean, yes, it has its kind of weird things with not having Bluetooth and I forgot to ask Seth last week about the battery life. I'll have to check in with that. I guess
I think it's
earlier
like four and a half hours. It's,
okay.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't know. It looks really cool. I'm not super hyped about shelling out $150 to $200 for new earbuds or headphones for it, in addition to the $200 price tag. But I mean, if we're talking not having to spend money on either of these things, and which one I would rather have to stay with me in my library of tons of controllers.
We're not asking about your library of controllers. This is for the Hall of Fame of the greatest PlayStation.
I'm saying
just
that.
One, it's not even a Hall of Fame. There's just one controller on the big pedestal.
I would take the Portal. I mean, I literally just was going through and reorganizing all my old controllers yesterday. I found out I have like 9 Wavebird controllers for some reason.
Oh my
god. If you got room for 9 Wavebirds, you got room for a PSVR AIM controller.
I probably do.
Jada, if you ever want to get in on the housing market, just sell those Wavebirds. Those things go for a ton of money.
Do they? Like,
yeah, no, Wavebirds are like super rare. I've had one for years. I can't part with it, but yeah, I don't even use it every now and then. I just, again, open the drawer and it's there. But it's not, you know, 2 feet wide and shaped like a yogurt pretzel.
You guys ever give somebody the Wavebird when you're driving, where you wave at them and then flip them off?
No, but I'm going to tomorrow, Max. While
the VR AIM controller should have been more popular.
Okay, so it should have. It also should have been there at launch. I would argue that it is a bespoke peripheral made for the PlayStation VR. It should have been. I mean, it's a bummer that it wasn't. You know, it sucks that it took them 2 generations of PlayStation VR to make dedicated PlayStation VR controllers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the VR AIM is kind of cool. It's like if you went to Jim Henson and you were like, design me a spear gun. And he did.
Yeah.
It just looks like a weird Muppet weapon. And
it combines 2 things Americans love most, which is guns and clowns together.
Honk, honk. Hey, we're getting a Killer Clowns from Outer Space game. So there you go.
Every time I see that thing, I just think, honk, honk. That's all I do.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm voting, like, I'm not good at this. I'm voting for the AIM controller.
Okay, Jada and I are we're gonna do that, outvote your clown ass again. This is gonna we're going for the PlayStation what's it called? The Zoom, the Portal.
PlayStation Zoom. That's right. That's
PlayStation Portal has a very generic name, and I hate how close it sounds to PlayStation Portable, which it isn't. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't, you can't natively play games. And so, like, I almost want to ding it. If this was a points-based thing, I would ding it points for that. But for
What would you call it?
The PlayStation not portable.
But it is portable.
That's it? What about
PlayStation? Like I would just call it PlayStation Remote Player or something. Like, something that actually tells you what it does and then what it doesn't do.
Then you mess with the PlayStation Remote that we have.
Oh yeah, that's true. They actually, I mean, I feel like
why don't you put that on the list?
Actually, I was going to say the PS remotes should be on here because you can actually play games with those remotes. I've done that in the past. It's terrible and it is really hard.
Because then you suddenly have like a bunch of different, you have remotes dating back to the PS2 there. And we're not doing
that. You bought that, right, Max?
I bought that. My kid stole it. Like I actually gave it to her because I wasn't using it. I just was like, oh, this is good. This is how I'm going to use streaming in this generation of consoles, and it just didn't happen. I think I wound up getting a new TV or something, and I was just like, this is...
I've said this before, but like new console launches are a lot like having a kid, in that you get really excited right before and you buy a bunch of crap that you absolutely don't need. Like,
yep.
And then you end up throwing most of it out or giving it away. Because like I do that too. I buy nonsense like that. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to get that PS remote. You know I'm going to be watching so much TV on this thing. And then you're like, my TV watches TV. Like I got stuff on there.
I wonder if that was also, I don't know if it was just Sony being slow about releasing the AIM controller. But I mean, if you look back on like, say the Wii, when the Wii came out and there was just thousands of shovelware accessories that they released, and that was like a very bad market.
Was the Sony for the Move, there was the one that looked like a fairly realistic
they did have some, you're right, they did have some nose. Yeah, so I wonder if it was just like they saw those things and are like, hey, nobody likes these things, so let's wait on releasing this and make it better.
I mean, what was it called? The Wii Zapper? The one that came with Link, Legend of Zelda, or Link's crossbow training?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
like
that was fine.
The VR aim controller is like 100% like a, you know, alternate dimension version of that, or an answer to that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I think it's cool. I'm voting for it. What are you voting for?
Portal.
Portal. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm outvoted once again. The Portal moves on to the next round.
Well, you keep voting for these Ralph Nader ass controllers, man. What do you think is going to happen?
Change. All right, now we've got a grandpa has to fight a young toddler. We've got the PS1 controller, the original, original, and the PS5 DualSense. We got bells versus whistles here. This is tough. I mean, again, we're talking like Hall of Fame here. It's obviously not fair on some levels because some of these things are straight up more functional than others. Like the Move controllers, by definition, you know, what are you going to do with that? The, you know, Remote Play requires an internet connection. It's also you suddenly suck at the game if your internet dips out. Like this is a silly list. It's a dumber bracket. Just work with me here. This is also like, which of these is more significant? If you look at these two images together, you got the DualSense, which looks like somebody made a PlayStation themed Xbox controller. And then you got the PS1 controller, which looks like a freaking PS1 controller. It's the original, the first controller that looked like that. It looked like they took, you know, a Super Nintendo controller and then made it look sick as hell. And they totally dunked on Nintendo with it.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, I think I do vote PS1 here. I think the DualSense is a fantastic controller. I think they did the right job of upgrading from the DualShock system to the DualSense. I think the haptic feedbacks and stuff are fantastic and great, but more often than not, I do find myself just turning off the haptics in most of my games.
Yep.
Just because, like, Baldur's Gate 3 had it when I was, like, moving. Like, I would get some tension every time I was moving items around my inventory. I don't know if you guys have played that game much, but you move a lot of stuff in your inventory.
I don't know if you've ever opened a journal, but it's actually, there's a lot of torque. It's really, you got to have some strength.
Every time I need to like open a book to read one page in the book.
Yeah. It is weird where they have like feedback on that. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible.
When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meet space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cybercriminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
I think it's just more on the developer side than it is the controller side for the haptics and stuff, like, where it just needs to be tweaked on what makes sense and doesn't make sense to have it like on by default.
I don't know. I never caught this. We're showing the B-roll of the original reveal where they try to visualize haptics by showing all those little like white and blue, you know, dipping dots mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they show the trigger working, and it just hit me that it totally looks like a cat in a cat litter commercial, like scratching in the sand, and they don't want to show pee, so they show blue stuff like they do in right. all sorts of bathroom product commercials. They just got to do like they make it look like it's about to pee in the sand. I don't like, this is terrible.
Okay, I want to expand a little bit on what Jada was talking about, because I think I'm totally on the same page. There's a lot of bells and whistles in the DualSense controller that I turn off, because they are either not well implemented in most games, or they actively deplete the battery super hard. The battery on this controller sucks. Let's just say it what it is. The controller is awesome.
Yeah.
The battery sucks. Not a problem with the PS1 controller, obviously. It's wired.
The only time the batteries run out on that one is when somebody else runs by and knocks your whole PlayStation out of the entertainment.
I mean, who's to say that's not an issue with the DualSense 5, Kevin, given how often you got to charge it? I feel like when you chip away at the DualSense 5, I respect it because it does show that Sony's not afraid to iterate and try new things. Mm-hmm. I like that I do like the idea of the wackiness, the bells and whistles, but ultimately, mm-hmm. it doesn't do its day job. Like the battery dies too much. Like it's just, I don't know. It's
working half days, taking a nap for the other half of the day.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe if it wasn't too busy making cat litter sound effects, it could, you know, maybe. I also don't like the two-tone thing. I don't know. I guess it works with the thing of the look of the PS5, but I feel like it also breaks. If you look at all the PlayStation controllers lined up, it looks weird.
No, I said this like on day one. It looks like one of those Barnum and Bailey Circus strongman tank tops, you know, like with the thin strips. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so I want to point out something about
you saying that, and I can't unsee it now.
I want to point out something about the the PS1. Okay, so the PS1 controller, obviously limitations, right? Literally doesn't have analog sticks, but for the era, for a lot, most of the games at the time, like, it wasn't particularly an issue, right? Like, you could actually, like, you know, a limited amount of 3D games, lots of 2D games, lots of RPGs and stuff like that.
Lots of fighting games. Lots of fighting games is the way to go.
Like, yeah, it just kind of worked, right? We made it work, right? You could play 3D games like that. It's not ideal. I know I did a lot of that on the PS1. I did a lot of it again on the DS, like systems that did not have analog sticks that did get 3D games. Like, it's obviously a problem, but I think the design of this controller is, like, so iconic and so amazing. And I think the feel of it and the shoulder buttons were awesome. The buttons, like, had a fantastic click. One of the best D-pads in controller history. Like, let's just call it that. I don't think anyone would say the DualSense has, like, one of the best D-pads in controller history, right?
I think the D-pad's fine.
But it's, you know, I think the original PS1 controller just was awesome. It was also rock solid.
Like, it wasn't competing with dual analog stick. That wasn't a thing.
Yeah,
we didn't have that. It was competing with the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
Like, and honestly, if you think of, like, Ken Kutaragi being like, "Oh, Nintendo doesn't want to play ball. All right, well, fuck you guys." I'm just going and he's like, "Oh, letters? That's for children. We're using shapes now."
Yeah.
I don't know how logic works.
Yeah. No, and I think this is also around the same time as N64, and I think it had a better D-pad than the N64, and it was a better, more natural controller for that time for anybody to pick up and understand. Sometimes I do.
I don't want to like do any, you know, shots fired here, because those kids of the Nintendo podcast is wonderful, but that is the N64 controller is one of the stupidest things ever designed.
I really love the N64 controller. So,
I mean, like, I have a fond feeling towards it, but also, I don't know, that and the cartridges and the price and the, I don't know, and me,
hold on, let me
puberty made me go, this is, we're not comparing it.
I'm going to compare it in a way that's relevant to this. Let me speak to that real quick. The N64 controller had a really good D-pad that was used for maybe two games across the entire console. So that is, like, that's textbook example of, like, they built something that was almost never used that way, right? Whereas the PS1 controller, almost the entire library is designed around this controller, and the controller is servicing it in return. I think, like, outside of some Yoshi game and Mischief Makers, maybe Mortal Kombat Trilogy, it was like you could count on one hand, and you need three to play the N64 controller, but you can count on one hand how many times that D-pad was actually used for anything. So
I used it quite a bit in like for offshoot stuff, but it wasn't never like part of the core experience. It was like very few games that was like, this is how you have to play.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the times that I think they were very good at the time about giving you multiple control options to be like, okay, this is, you know, and they would show you, do you want to use the D-pad and the buttons with the C buttons, or do you want to use the analog stick and hold it, you know, just 2/3 of the controller? That probably could have just been the full controller.
I mean, Nintendo gave us like the first analog stick and the first console shooter with GoldenEye, and then everyone else ate their lunch in that department. I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, I think the big takeaway here is the original PlayStation 1 controller is better than the DualSense. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
I think it's what I pick. I don't know if I say better, but it is
better.
It is moving on.
We're trying to decide the ultimate best controller of all time that belongs in the Hall of Fame that we put on a little pedestal at the end of that big hallway that Shazam lives in or whatever. Like, it's going to be one of those Hall of Fames. It's all made up. It's using a royalty free bracket graphic that I cropped the watermark off of. It's fine, guys. Anyway, moving on. It looks like the original PS1 controller is going to be squaring off against the DualShock 4. But first, we are going to check out here's a real showdown right here. The PlayStation Move controller, those clown noses on the go, and the PlayStation 2 DualShock 2.
I don't even have to really debate much on this one.
What are we doing here?
The PS2 DualShock is so iconic to the PlayStation. I know we were just saying the PS1 is iconic for its shape and everything. And yes, we did get the PS1 DualShock. I don't even know, was it called the DualShock on the PS1? I can't remember if that was the official naming for it. But when we got the DualShock 2 on the PS2, like, that is Sony's golden era, you know. That was, like, one of their golden eras for games. Like, just that era of games in general, the PS2, DualShock, there's so many games, and they, like, the rumble features were improved, and it felt great to play these games, Ratchet and Clank, Jak and Daxter, all these wonderful games, these wonderful 3D games with analog sticks, and it's like fantastic. And then
what about volleyball?
What about I'm more of a badminton kind of girl, but you know, to each their own. You got the PS3 Move controllers.
They were also PS4 Move controllers for the PSVR.
That's true. I have a particular hatred of these Move controllers, just because of my time working at GameStop, and people would bring them in to sell them back, and I would have to clean the clown noses before we could resell them. So I have an extra level of hatred.
Can't we go 1 week
things.
Without someone saying clean the clown noses on this show?
I hate it. I didn't buy the Move controllers at the time, but I remember friends having them, and I forget if I was at IGN and there were some haunted old clown sticks sitting around the office, right? But I bought a PSVR on day one.
Clown sticks.
And Sony's official, like, their controllers were sold out at the time. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there were like bundles that came with controllers that were the new ones, but they were more expensive or sold out or something like that.
Those weren't there at launch. They had to redesign the Move controllers and change the USB-C chargers. But the ones that came out at launch were just straight up repackaged, like PS3 ones.
With the USB, the...
What is it called? Mini?
Yeah, mini. Not like a little, right?
Like a little top hat, you know?
Yeah. It's like a weird cape.
Not a top hat. It's like a...
I don't know.
Like a sandcastle.
It's like a fedora.
It's like the bottom half of a pyramid, right? That someone took the top off to put an eye on to invite the Illuminati over or whatever. Anyway, I had to buy those used off of GameStop.com, and they came in like weed bags. They were filthy because Jada wasn't working at the one I ordered from, clearly. And I just remember the immense disappointment of being like, I am finally getting into like home consumer grade VR. Like this console manufacturer that knocks it out the park regularly with awesome hardware and software is making a brand new VR system that I can play at home. I can go underwater and see the shark, and go on like haunted roller coaster rides and all the other fun stuff I did on PSVR. And these controllers showed up in just the most beat up box in the dirtiest bags. And I remember taking them out and being like, they have a different charging port than the rest of this system. Like, this thing sucks. And
that's a very bad.
Yeah, it was a completely bizarre consumer experience to go from. It felt like you go to a futuristic utopia, and the only money you have is like dirty coins. That's what it felt like for me.
Well, it's like if you bought a futuristic high tech car, and it's like, oh, it only runs on Surge. You know where to buy Surge this year? The soda that they don't make anymore. Yep. Go find it. And you're like,
here
okay.
We have we got videos of Classic Beyond hosts Ryan Clements and Greg Miller. Shout out to those boys. And they're playing the Move controllers, and you can see Clements is getting frustrated. Because, like, you know, they just didn't really register.
Because Greg is really good at volleyball.
Yeah, no, famously amazing at volleyball, Greg Miller. He only does everything. Shout out to Scott Lowe also. But yeah, like these controllers showing up just immediately disappointed me. And like not really ever getting until the next iteration of PSVR. Like the fact that they stuck with those controllers is mind-boggling to me. Like they've made some seriously daft, bizarre, weird, borderline idiotic decisions with their entire like VR, you know, agenda forever. But this one I think is particularly egregious of being like, hey, we're going to take these 12-year-old controllers that we put out 5 years into the Nintendo Wii or whatever to kind of do an answer to that. And
it feels like they were using them for like prototype controls or something, and they forgot to make them. Like they forgot to make
a new one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that one, those ones aren't going on to the next round, are they? Huh.
No.
Okay. So that means that the PS2 DualShock is the winner of the next round.
Yeah, and I feel like we'll have a chance to speak to how great the PS2 DualShock is, but like, it's awesome.
It's good. It's a good one.
It's a hell of a controller.
Yeah. All right. So now we're getting to the first sub micro double bracket of the follow up showdown, which is the DualShock 3 and the PSVR 2 Sense. I feel like this is just a slightly modernized version of the conversation we just had a generation later on both fronts. I didn't plan it that way. That was a random list making website that I went to. I love the VR Sense because it's so futuristic and out there, or it would have been if a bunch of other VR companies hadn't come in and made this basic exact form factor for their more high-tech headsets than the PSVR.
Yeah.
Still used PS Move controllers. But I don't know. It reminds me of that PlayStation 9 commercial where it's like an orb that there's flying cars and stuff. I'm trying to be positive about this thing. I think we all know that the DualShock 3 has got this in the bag, you know?
Yeah. It was great to see them do a dedicated controller for their high tech futuristic consumer grade VR, right? Like that's awesome. Like they fixed that problem that I just yelled about for 8 minutes, but they're not as good as the controllers they're going up against. You know?
I don't know. I'm gonna be the outlier here. I think I prefer the VR Sense 2 controllers over a DualShock 1. When it comes to, if we're talking about, you know, importance in the history of PlayStation, as you said, Brian, you were just complaining for 8 minutes about their previous like lack of design, finishing a design for those Sense controllers, and this is them listening and showing they saw that what the market was doing and was doing well when it comes to VR controllers, and then they took it and they made it their own and put their own PlayStation spin on it.
And then they never spoke of it ever again.
The lack of games or announcement of games coming to VR does not mean the controller is any less good.
We're talking about controllers here.
I mean, I would say like if Sony loved it, they would support it more in house. But
I agree.
That's just, you know, a little.
I'm actually with Jade on this. It shows Sony like actually kind of copying off of other people's homework a little bit while still, you know, doing its own thing. And like Sony has a long history of doing very proprietary stuff and like trying. It was like, well, this is the way we're going to do it. And sometimes that totally backfires. And I don't know, the jury's out on what the PSVR 2 is doing. But like, yeah, I appreciate that this thing is simultaneously, you know, it's iterative. It's solving some problems. And it's, you know, if we're comparing it to a controller that you can use to play countless times more games because it's not a VR games. I think it's a really cool controller, you know?
Yeah.
Do we like it more than the DualShock 3? I don't know.
I think so.
I let me put it this way. I think a DualShock is going to win this no matter what. So I'm going to let, we got to let, you could have let the banana boomerang in, but you didn't. Here we go. I'm voting for the VR Sense.
The VR Sense too.
Over the controller you played, Dark Souls and The Last of Us and GTA 4 with.
I mean, I've used the last two controllers to play The Last of Us
and GTA 5.
Yeah, I don't know. So. I feel like we talked about how great the PS2 DualShock is. I think that really did a lot of heavy lifting for what the DualShock 3 did.
It's that
trilogy problem where like when the two knocks it out of the park so hard, then three has to come in and it just kind of hits some familiar beats and maybe does something that people don't like. I don't know.
I think you're both pushing this one down because of how much we dunked on the clown sticks earlier. And fine. I'm voting against it.
The only thing the PS3 controller did new was adding in the motion capacity. And their big selling point for that during the PS3 era was Lair. And let's remember how great Lair was as a PlayStation 3 game.
Okay, entirely fair. Motion controls on that thing sucked.
Also, bear in mind, this is the DualShock 3 after they got rid of the 6-axis and added the rumble back in, which is, I feel like, also in the same way that the frowning boomerang peel-less banana that somebody slipped on is like indicative of the faceplant that the PS3 was in the beginning.
Yeah,
it came back from it. This is kind of the comeback. This is answering what people wanted. It's like, oh, you like the rumble feature that we got you comfortable with? Oh,
that was after they said players don't need rumble, right? you remember that? They had a statement mm-hmm. where they're just like, oh, the gamers can just imagine shaking their hands or whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're trying to save battery life or whatever. Yeah, so again, this feels like a make good that's a return to form. Like, it's good. It's nice that it was a, you know, cordless, wireless.
Okay, strong argument. I'm still voting against it, but you know, I'm happy to be outvoted here. I'm sad to see an iconic controller die to one that no one bought.
I have great
I bought it.
That there's multiple other iconic controllers that are going to blow.
So I still bought it, Brian.
you didn't even open it. It's not fair.
All right. Okay, so next category, here we go. Okay. We have the PS1 DualSense or DualShock, the original DualShock, the one that introduced DualShock with Ape Escape, where you had to spin the controller around and make the little paddle go and slap those monkeys on the behinds. That was a fun time. You could fly with that little kayak paddle.
They should bring Ape Escape back.
The problem is all the ape storage facilities are too high tech these days. They really keep them in there. They don't escape anymore. The PS1 DualShock, that's a special one. And we're putting it up against the Portal, which is a new thing. We think it's pretty cool. But, oh, man, DualShock. This is the PS1. Yeah, PS1 DualShock.
Yeah, going for it.
Yeah. Sorry, Portal.
That feels easy, right?
I'm going Portal.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
We'll have it
for whatever reason.
It's my job, Brian.
I was initially like, I was sad that we couldn't get a fourth person on the show, but I feel like having three makes it a lot easier to get through this one.
It does. It definitely
decide
does.
On it. Yeah, I mean, the DualShock is. I think that there was the PlayStation Classic that came out a few years ago. That was not great, and I think it was especially not great because it didn't have a DualShock with it. Because a bunch of those games were from later in the PS1's life cycle. I mean, I don't know. I played Metal Gear on with a DualShock controller, and like making Snake creep around with the sticks. Like, I don't know. I just got used to using sticks, and I realized that game probably came out. I think it came out before the DualShock did, but this is a modern controller.
Yeah,
this is the first modern controller with dual analog sticks. Correct.
I mean, this did definitely set the design for the industry for what a standard controller setup is. So yeah. I'm not upset with the Portal losing to it, but you know, I understand it.
Sorry, Portal. All right. So now here's an interesting one. The original PS1 controller with no sticks whatsoever is up against the PS4 DualShock 4, which was the biggest design departure for PlayStation controllers ever. That was a huge leap, and a lot of people are mad at me because I poo-pooed the DualShock 3, and you know, said that I like the DualShock 4 better. I don't know. I actually do love the original form factor, the original PlayStation controllers. I like when they're little. It's funny because I've gotten bigger as they've stayed the same size, and then they made this one, and I liked it. I don't know. I like the DualShock 4 a whole lot. Do I put it above the original PlayStation controller? I think I do.
I'm going PS1 controller.
Same.
Purely because I like the PS4 DualShock controller. I think it's a great, a very well designed controller outside of the parts inside of it. I cannot tell you how many times I had to get a new controller because it started to drift. And this was kind of the beginning of drift being a bigger issue in controllers.
Yep.
Was around this PS4 era.
Also the nubbins, if you use the dog sticks noses. Too much. The dog noses, but also like they would get like they would flake off, and then
they would flake off. I remember like that happened in the first month of me getting a PS4. The rubber stick grips on the top of the sticks would start to like actually rot off. And I wasn't going like super hard playing it or anything like that. Also, the light on the front of it. It was bright as hell for like 2 years until, didn't they patch it or something?
We
had to buy stickers to put on it. We had to buy stickers to cover up the light on the front of that thing. That's how annoying it was. The touchpad sucks. It sucks. This is an awesome controller. Like when you're actually just like running around a 3D open world game and fighting people and stuff like that. Like this is the controller I platinum Bloodborne with, right? Mm. This is an awesome controller. It is amazing.
We're not talking about Bloodborne, sadly. We're talking about controllers. That's a fair point. Yeah.
I legally have to say it every single week. Otherwise,
New Jersey comes software for him.
Will block me on Twitter. They don't even follow me. No. So yeah, this is an immensely comfortable controller. And I think the sticks are awesome. I think the buttons are awesome. The D-pad's awesome. It does so much right. There are so many problems with this controller. The share button was super cool. I guess it doesn't work anymore because they unfollowed Twitter. But and here's Mike Flanagan. He just made what's the House of the Dead People on Netflix.
This is a
really good controller. But I think if we stack up the actual problems with it and the amount that we had to cover up with stickers or replace or fix ourselves, like there's enough here that this was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So
I did go like
PS1.
And I did like how they adjusted. This was like kind of the first step into like the PS5 DualSense triggers where it kind of folded back a little bit on this one. Cause I don't think they did that on the DualShock 3. I could be wrong. But it's been a minute since I've messed with my DualShock 3s. And so like they had like a lot of really good ideas in this one, but I think they just didn't. I think if they would have invested more money into the materials, which would have raised the cost and, you know, made them less money per controller sold, not to mention all the extra controllers that they sold because of people upset with drift and busted analog sticks, grips coming off. I think they would have been less profitable on it. So I don't think they were not incentivized to fix it. And thankfully, they've done that a lot better with the PS5 DualSense. But yeah, the PS4, there's a lot of red flags, despite how great this controller is. It's like seeing an obscenely attractive person, but they're just running around and, you know, something is just not right with them with what they're shouting into the sky. They're obscenely hot, but they're shouting at clouds.
Do you two remember playing PS4 games in a dark room and you're fully engulfed in like this amazing cinematic happening in front of you and the stupid light on your controller is reflecting off of the TV and you could see it there? Because I do.
Oh yeah,
that's,
I didn't have that.
That was like annoying. I liked it sometimes where like if you got hurt it would go from like green to red or whatever, or I don't know, in GTA like it would start making police siren stuff. There was also the speaker, which we don't speak of, but that was that was a silly little bell and whistle. I guess more of a whistle.
It was cool, but like I think it gave me more mini heart attacks than it was ever gave me cool interactions. Like playing Dragon Ball Kakarot, and then when you get like I don't know like two thirds or not I mean not two thirds but maybe like around halfway and like King Kai starts talking to you and he just shouts randomly through the microphone, and I was just like, oh my god, that is so loud. Because I had never
messed with GTA friends just yelling at you.
Never messed with the audio setting on it because it just was used so infrequently where a game would talk through it.
Yeah, the 5 does that periodically. I feel
it does. Yeah, and there's a lot. I actually really love that feature in say like Resident Evil 4 remake. Like I think I told the story on the show before, but anytime I was playing through and I'd get a call from Ada and all her audio comes from the controller. I'm literally holding the controller up to my hand like a walkie-talkie. It's a really cool feature and I really like that. And I may look very stupid while I do it, but that's totally fine. I'm not playing Resident Evil 4 to be cool. Like, even though it is a very cool game.
Okay. I think it's fair. I played some of my favorite games ever made with that controller. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of problems. So I need to be able to like, you know, put some respect on its name a little bit here and talk about how great the buttons are and how comfortable the controller is. But like had that dog nose stick rot and then had the big stupid light on the back and, you know, the drift.
It's going up against the original PlayStation controller, which is like that iconic, you know, we had that for three generations. And I don't mean to, you know, poo poo it, you know, saying that I don't like the DualShock 3. I like the DualShock 2 a lot. But anyway. The shockless original PS1, I think it's a more significant entry than the, you know, the DualShock 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's tough, but yeah, I'm with you both on that. It's the frayed little dog noses and the people yelling at you and lighting up your living room. Yeah. All right. So PS1, moving on. All right. Next up, we've got the DualSense Edge, the very expensive new one, money bags, and then the PlayStation 2 DualShock. This is Jada, you have the Edge, right?
I do. I actually have it
the controller,
right.
Not just the, you know, the characteristic. I would
very
say both,
edgy, but, yeah. Max. Thank you for pointing it out to all of our viewers. And that's me just shuffling around a bunch of stuff falling. Yeah, I got the Edge.
What do you think of it?
I freaking love my Edge. I mostly use it for my PC now when I'm playing stuff like my PC. It's when I'm trying to be politically correct when talking to people on the internet. I use the controller.
What is that?
I use it with this controller. It's how I comment in our comment sections. It's a very long process. So any comment I'm going to make. No, I love the DualSense Edge. I think it's fantastic. I think it is a very high barrier of entry because it's $200, same as the Portal. But I think it is great for those who want to fine tune their experience that are playing those very competitive games like a Call of Duty or an Apex or Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. Being able to tweak and your buttons to where to reduce your input time and such between button presses is fantastic. I think it's like the definitive way of the DualSense 5, or just DualSense, because it's not a 5, it's just a DualSense. It's the first wave of DualSenses. I kind of expect these features to be in the DualSense 2 or 6, whatever Sony ends up R&Ding and calling their controller for the next console. Like, I expect these features to be just kind of built into the next controller. Because it's that great of an experience. Also, you know, I talked earlier about how the PS4 DualSense DualShock had issues with like drift. This fixes that. So where if you ever do get drift, I got this thing back in February, I think, when it launched earlier this year. Haven't had a lick of drift with it, which is great. Also, it adds back buttons. That's something a lot of people have been wanting, is other, you know, control options. Not only is it just more accessible buttons. Options for people, it's great to have more buttons.
It's got 40% more buttons than most other controllers ever.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, this is... the only people who are going to say this is the best PlayStation controller of all time are the people trying to sell you one. You know, like, it's obviously very good, but it's also...
Max will sell you mine for $175.
I will give you $1,000 to not buy it. Not sure how money works.
This is more, significantly more expensive than the DualSense and has worse battery life, right?
It does have worse battery life, but honestly, like,
but it's an
not
XP
that bad.
No,
for sure.
Case. I don't know.
It's not that bad. It's not terribly worse, and it comes with a nice, really long charge cable that you can lock to where it won't get unplugged if you have kids running.
It'll just rip your console out of the wall like in the olden days. Speaking of which, one controller that was great for that was the PS2 DualShock, which I don't know. This one, I'm the last time I read up on exactly what it did, I was very young and dumber than I am now. But didn't this have like a bunch more like fine-tuned analog stuff compared to the first DualShock?
Yeah, gosh, it's been a minute since I've like actually looked into it. I feel like I think this one added the pressure sensitive to where you could click in the analog sticks from the PS1. So I don't think that the PS1 analog stick had that input. So I think that was one of the new things for the PS2. And you know, that gave us our L3, R3 buttons. Again, that was PlayStation kind of pushing the industry forward with what your controller buttons could do and what your controllers could do.
That's what
polygons.
It was pressure sensitive. Like that was it. Yeah. It was actually more, it was just more analog across the board. I just Googled this DualShock 2 versus 1 to try to cheat on my homework here, but DualShock 2 can sense 256 levels of pressure, which I can't pinpoint a ton of instances, but I do remember that being one of the cool things in Metal Gear Solid 2, where you could like, when you were, I guess you were like choking guys. I mean, this was a big thing for like CQC and Snake Eater. Like it was sort of like the how quickly you flick the sticks in whatever direction, I think did something. I don't know. I think it's really cool. You know, like it took the stuff that the DualShock 1 did, and DualShock 1, to be fair, when it came out, I remember it feeling a little bit like it was sort of gimmicky, you know, like I was like, what are you going to do with this? And then it became the standard, like it became like the most, you know, the heavily utilized thing period in games.
Yeah.
Two sticks. Like, I don't know. I love the two. I also love that it was just like, it was a, it was, I mean, it's can't be said enough that like a second PlayStation, when they were like, it's the PlayStation 2, and it's this kick-ass looking black obelisk that plays movies, and it has a new controller, and the new controller is black. I don't know. It's such a simple thing, but the fact that it was like a different color was exciting and cool. And it did, you know, it looked the same, and it felt mostly the same. Something I totally forgot is the sticks were way stiffer. Like there was more resistance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The last time, it's been a cool minute since I held like an original DualShock 1, but like I remember they're just like very wiggly.
Yeah, I mean, same deal, right? Like it's sort of inextricably connected with some of my favorite gaming memories of all time. Just like incredible games. Like I think GTA and Metal Gear and all this other fun stuff that I played with this controller. I think this this did everything right. I think it nailed it on pretty much all fronts. I don't particularly remember any of it being like a faulty hardware problem. Obviously we went through those controllers like you go through any controllers with traditional wear and tear, but I didn't have to put stickers on it to hide lights, and the sticks didn't drift and fall apart. Battery life wasn't really a thing to worry about. Like
back in my day, my PlayStation controller didn't make King Kai yell at me.
The police
never came to my controller.
Didn't look like a rotting dog.
Steering wheel didn't fly off in my hands when I was
driving. I figure you'd be happy with a rotting dog with all your love of Bloodborne. Like,
okay, yeah, fair. Okay, I'm into that, but I like to fight them in that game. You know,
they pitch that as a feature, like this controller rots in your hands as you die.
It smells terrible. I mean, we talked about on a previous episode like those patents about the controllers that are supposed to like mold and stuff, like be moldable, like they were talking about that.
I really hope we get to have a much weirder version of this conversation in like 3 years, and they're just like, hey, everybody, the DualSense of mold. 2 is just a bag full of buttons and you just squeeze it as hard as you can.
Just gotta buy it, you know, if it stuff starts to go bad, you just buy a new case of Play-Doh and put it add it into it, and you're good to go. It
feels like a wet croissant full of frog bones.
The PlayStation Jelly Wand is easily the number one motion controller they've ever
There's like a William Gibson book where it talks about people having these like futuristic computers that don't have like dedicated shapes. They're just weird assemblages of parts, and it's just like a bag with just like buttons on it or something. And I don't know. It's like in Existenz where it's just a bizarre body part that you plug stuff into. Anyway, next up here. Okay, this is where we have to apologize to someone and send them home with no prizes. But next bracket we've got. The PSVR Sense, VR Sense. I don't ever know. We always say PSVR, but you're supposed to say
PlayStation. It's the VR Sense 2.
VR Sense. Well, yeah, it's nonsense now because it's going up against the original PS1 DualShock. I think it's a pretty clear case of just, you know.
The PSVR Sense, that's correct.
PSVR
right,
Sense.
It is a very clear case.
It's, yeah, I mean, DualShock is the winner, you know. You going to try to argue that, Jada?
I'm voting with the VR Sense 2. I'm going to leave it on the onus on Brian. Make be the deciding vote, but like I said, yes, the PS1 analog was the first one adding analogs, but if we're talking about, you know, a better controller for, you know, pound for pound for what it does and what
more elegant
are built
weapon
into
for
it,
a more civilized age,
yeah, you know, like, you know, the PS1 controller, it's the controller the cave people used, and the VR Sense 2 is the one we use in our utopia of PlayStation 5. What we imagine us using, you know, that's my argument for it.
So the PSVR 2 controller.
It's the future.
What future?
It's the future of PlayStation, Brian.
But the PlayStation doesn't even care about it. They forgot that they made it. It's the past. It's literally the past. It's getting the VR2 is getting third party games. You know, I see people talking about them all the time, but like,
yeah,
it's just not. Like, Sony doesn't care, and so why should I?
I think it shows a lot of courage that they decided to design a controller to go with their headset, as opposed to just dusting off ones that they had on, you know, storage from the last thing they didn't sell.
Okay. I mean...
Look. This controller won one round because Sony did the opposite of a mistake. They did the bare minimum that was expected, right? That was good. It got it this far. It's time to die now, okay?
It's time to die. Be rewarded for stopping doing the bad things that they did, but they were doing it the whole time anyway.
Yeah,
kill your darlings, I guess.
If somebody's... spare the rod, spoil the child.
if somebody screws up so hard on like a Monday, but on Tuesday they do exactly what's expected of them, then okay, great. But
we do that like every week on this show.
Fair. Yeah, pretty fair. Okay. But I'm still going with the other controller over it.
Hey. So PS1 DualShock.
The original DualShock, huh? It's really just a single shock, I suppose. It's not a shock.
Not much of a shock.
The DualShock. Yeah. I like that. I don't know. This is making me want to just go hold old controllers. Like, I don't know. It's that, you know how they feel. You spent, hundreds, thousands of hours holding these things, and then you stopped one day.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
It's sad when you think about it like that.
I guess it was a DualShock 1 to USB adapter,
mm-hmm.
which felt like the most like illegal thing at the time, because it was this was early 2000s, and I would use it to play, I don't know, ROMs, like PS, like Super Nintendo games and stuff. And you can't use the analog sticks for that at all. I think once in a while I'd get like a PC game that could actually play with that, but it was too much of a pain in the ass to calibrate. And it's,
I think the only time I really used that connector was for dance pads to connect. I had this like really nice dance pad that I bought that like you would unzip it and then you'd put like foam pads in between. So it was like I spent probably like I think $90 to $100 on this at Anime Expo back in like 2006. And I love that dance pad. It was so good. I actually have no idea where it is. And I'm very sad by that right now that I'm remembering that it's just missing in my life. I used to use that to plug into my PC to play certain, like, because there were certain, like, yeah, they had DDR on the PS2 and stuff, but then there was like PC only ones that you could download and play.
No, I'm getting the giggles over here because did you ever play that like the bootleg Guitar Hero that you could like load any game into, any song into?
No, I didn't.
You could just feed it MP3s, and I guess either people would like upload like button combos, or it would do something where it like turned them into things or whatever. And like I think you could probably figure out how to hook up a controller through like a USB adapter or whatever, but you could also just play with your keyboard. my girlfriend's one of her roommates would just take like huge bong rips, and he would sit like backwards in his like regular desk chair and just hold up his giant mechanical keyboard and play it like he was playing a guitar, but he would just be playing, and it was like a mechanical keyboard, so it's the loudest thing you've ever heard, and it's been just like louder than regular Guitar Hero, and he would just be like wailing on it and playing like I don't know, just he would pirate Dragon Force songs and put them in there and be like like at that point, man. Just play air guitar. Just put on music and just play air guitar. Don't use the keyboard; you're gonna break it. But
I used to have friends that would play those like on those PC DDR games, but they wouldn't actually connect the dance pad. They would just use the arrow keys on their keyboards. They were just literally just like up, down, left, right on their keyboard like the whole time. I'm just like, okay, that's a choice.
It's a choice. All right, now we have one of the big showdowns here. The original PS1, the non-DualShock one, the one that does not have any, thing. The original, the first one without the things. Or the PS2 DualShock. So basically, we've got the first three PlayStation controllers that are all feuding with each other. But the two we're trying to decide between right now are the first PS1 or the PS2 DualShock.
So we're PS1, no analogs, PS2 with analogs?
With analogs, but it's extra sensitive to torture guards with.
Oh, okay. I see. I see.
Oh, man.
I mean, this is tough because it's like it is the basically launch controller of the first two generations of console. They're the most like iconic, PlayStation. They're the two shapes. I mean, if this comes down to like PS1 DualShock versus PS2 DualShock, it's basically. That's a tough call,
Yeah,
it's a tough race. I mean, it's really, what's your favorite color, and how much do you hate those guards and want to torture them with your knife and snake eater or whatever?
Yeah. You can't have this debate without saying the word iconic a million times, which we've already said a million times in this episode, but I'll say it more. And if this,
I haven't said iconic this whole episode, Brian.
Are you kidding me? somebody should do a tally. If this was a drinking game, our audience would be dead. Especially because a lot of them drive.
Please don't
listen to this.
Please,
show.
As the community lead for IGN, please do not make this into a drinking game.
Yeah,
I forbid it.
Yeah, if you want to drink at your own leisure, while doing stuff related to the show, go for it. But just not...
Ryan, stop encouraging our audience to drink.
I'm not...
it's Thanksgiving, probably. I don't know what they're doing. I hope they're...
They can have Orangina.
Go have an extra piece of turkey.
Help yourself to a Schweppes. There's a whole cooler full of them on the porch.
Okay, I'm going to go with the PS2 one. Because I think that was the... That was the culmination of like all of the good ideas that they ever had. And to me, that was sort of like they hit the ceiling on that one before they kind of jammed it with like needless features and a lot of technical problems that tended to come later on. Right.
It's a sweet spot.
It's the sweet spot. Exactly.
Like finding the sweet spot of where to hold the knife against the guard's neck when you're trying to, get the CQCM or whatever.
It's taking all the best parts of all of the controllers before it, and it is that like really awesome, pure place for a controller before they put in a bunch of kind of needless bells and whistles that ultimately like didn't add much as much as they kind of took away, if that makes sense. I think it's the most perfect controller they ever made. I think that they made ones afterwards that were slightly more comfortable or had slightly better sticks. But again, like there was a bunch of problems with them and this one didn't really have them. So I'm going to go with the PS2 controller.
Mm.
I'm going PS2 as well.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe one. I think on some level, if the PS1 Classic hadn't come out, wow, this is really, they didn't even have good advertising. I think we pulled up like an official Sony PowerPoint from 1999 or something, and it's really not, they're not selling steak or sizzle here. They're just showing you raw meat. I don't know. It's
Blue disc.
Generate. Wow. Okay. Anyway, for those of you who can't see this, you're probably having a better time. I like that they show that it can play DVD videos, and the movies they pick to showcase that are Casino, Twister, and Daylight, which is one of my favorite movies about Sylvester Stallone fighting a tunnel that they've ever made.
And then they turned the JPEG sideways and put all three films at once into the disc drive, which would make your PS2 explode, by the way. Don't do that.
It would,
Don't give your PS2 that many choices to be between Casino and Twister.
Sorry, we're all good. The clear answer is Daylight, an underrated gem. I love that movie.
I think the best PlayStation controller for sure is Daylight.
DualShock 2. And now it's going up against the DualShock 1. So this is really, again, this is kind of a no-brainer. I feel like we're just kind of circling the drain here.
Yeah, you organized this bracket very well, Max.
I didn't organize it. It was a computer. The computer did it, and we did the rest.
Okay.
AI is coming for our jobs, and it will also get fired. I don't know. You have to pick one controller to put in a museum or in like a pedestal in the Temple of Doom or whatever, and like make it like just shine all the lights on it and be like, this is the PlayStation controller, the best of all time. I'm old and I feel like that gray color is like
it is very iconic to PlayStation.
I mean, if it's got to go in a thing in Temple of Doom, then yeah, I'm going to pick the older one.
It's going to look better. It's going to get dustier, you know, it's going to turn all yellow and weird, you know, and but it's also like, it'll probably look, I don't know. Which do you like better? The thing that the first one that was that did everything, or the second one that did this all of those same things better?
The second one.
I think I got the second one. Yeah, I think I'm still DualShock 2.
I was asking rhetorically. It's like a very non-answer.
Well, now you've got our votes, so we can move on to the next one.
Wasn't that it? Can we do it?
You know, you could tell that none of us watch sports or are good at tournament stuff.
We're on a PlayStation podcast.
We found a winner and we didn't even know how to react.
Wait. Did I vote PS2 DualShock over DualSense Edge last round? Was that where I was at?
Yeah.
I was.
Yep.
Oh, I was totally off. I would have totally voted DualSense Edge. Not that I would have been. I would have made a difference, but I totally. Okay. I thought it was.
Which do you think is better, the DualSense Edge or the PS1 DualShock?
The DualSense Edge, hands down.
That's a bold case to be like, what is the best PlayStation controller yet? And it's the most expensive one that they put out earlier this year. And it's like, well, that's a fair answer. That's actually probably true. That's if you're actually trying to, if anyone's actually listened to us rambling for an hour and 14 minutes about what's the best PlayStation controller that you can get in 2023? Jada's correct.
Yes,
I expensive,
am.
It's the expensive, heavily customizable one that mm-hmm. just came out. It works yep. with your brand new current system.
I don't know. I think it's the one from 20 years ago that doesn't work on anything anymore.
I mean, you could probably get a still find a PlayStation to USB connector and get it to work on your PC if you
okay, this is let's be clear. This is
PS2. You could buy a PS2.
This is not like one of those Black Friday deals articles, right? This is not Okay, so then the PS2 one. Because I don't care if it doesn't work on your shit anymore. It's great. I'm not trying to get 8 cents off of you buying an air fryer.
I think the PS2 controller is like, there's a reason that is such an incredibly good selling ass console. I don't know. It was like the second behind the DS for the best video game thing of all time. Yeah. I don't know. I want to go buy like a PS2 Slim now. I want to hold that little controller and then remember why I hate cords.
Yeah, right.
We did it. We determined using science, math, and our own. The power of friendship to figure out which is the best controller. And it's the one we probably could have guessed from. We got a chance to talk about the yogurt pretzel and the banana boomerang, all those beloved classics. I had fun.
Clown sticks.
I did too.
Thank you both for hanging out with me. This has been good.
Of course.
I'm thankful for both of you.
Sorry, DualSense Edge didn't make it further. I know you really like that one.
I really love that controller. It's here and it's, look at it. It's upside down. It's all frowny now. It's sad.
It just looks mad. If actually, you hold the PS5 controller upside down,
technically this way it would be smiling. It's got a very Joker-esque smile.
It looks scary. It looks like a deep sea fish. Please stop doing that.
You look like if Fox just kept making X-Men movies.
You look like Cirque du Soleil. I don't like it.
And they were just pulling characters out of the back that no
one. For those
one
of you listening
ever...
at home, Jada is just holding the controller as though it is a smile, with a little sense edge, and
or
I don't
mustache.
Think it. Yeah. Now, we'll tune in next Thanksgiving for our episode on which PlayStation controller makes the funniest face with.
Mm-hmm. I think next year we should do hardware
longest cords of the. Which PlayStation has the longest?
Forgotten
cords?
Peripherals.
The PS Classic had the shortest, right? Wasn't it?
Oof. Did that have that problem too, or was that just the NES Classic?
I know the NES Classic did, and I think the PS1 wasn't much better. I don't know. No one knows because they stopped selling it. So have a good one.
That's fair.
Very quickly.
Anyway, thank you both for hanging out. This was fun. To everybody watching, listening at home, thank you for hanging out with us. If you listened this far, if you bailed early, well, the joke's on you because we did lots more jokes after you left. And we'll be back to normal next week. I hope everyone has a very safe and happy and healthy break. Or if you didn't get a break, I hope you got a weekend at least. And on that note, I guess we can say it. You want to say that word?
Yeah.
Enjoy turkey. Beyond.
Oh, yeah, beyond.
Beyond.
All right, one. Turkey. One, two. If you say turkey, when you say beyond, I'm beyond.
Beyond.
Turkey. Get out of here. All right.
Beyond.
I love you all.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.